This is Israel. This is our homeland. It's been that way for thousands of years.
For many Jewish Americans, support for Israel has long been central to their identity.
America's our first home, but Israel's our second home, so this means the world to us.
But as Israel stands accused of genocide in Gaza, views of the country are rapidly changing.
There's a lot of horror happening in Gaza right now.
And driving a growing number of Jews, especially from younger generations, to speak out.
Don't you dare use our families as the justification for endorsing Israel's horror show against the Palestinian people.
It reflects a nationwide shift that could redefine U.S.-Israeli relations.
There will come a time when there won't be majority support in Congress to continue sending bombs to Netanyahu.
I've come to the Jewish capital of the U.S., New York City, to understand how this shift is reshaping identity and the community's ties to Israel.
The Jewish community has been wrestling with the sense of what does it mean to be Jewish, specifically after October 7th.
So right now we're approaching the annual Israel Day Parade here in Midtown Manhattan, when tens of thousands of New Yorkers come out every year to show their support for Israel. This year's theme is Proud Americans, Proud Zionists, but it's taking place at a time when more and more Americans are turning away from supporting Israel. What is the importance of this demonstration today?
Jewish pride, pride for Israel, pride for the Jewish people.
Tell me about your shirt. Why are you wearing a shirt that says Zionist on it?
Because I'm so proud. I am very proud to be a Zionist. I support Israel, I support our people, and all of the hate only empowers us and makes us show up more.
Where is the West Bank and Gaza on this map?
Oh, okay.
What?
Uh-huh.
Where is it?
It would be this and that.
Why do you think so many young Jews seem to be turning away from Israel in particular?
Because
they're smart. They know what's going on in the world.
It's groupthink. You're an undergraduate, you're on a campus, and everybody seems to be supporting a movement. You're not going to be the lonely one who says, I need to educate more.
There's so much misinformation on the media right now, and algorithms on TikTok and Instagram, they're made to spread misinformation because it keeps you on the app longer.
You don't think it has anything to do with Israel's policies?
I think some policies are definitely criticized, and those are valid. I criticize the policies too. I served in the Army. There's a lot to fix there, but we're a Western country that's really trying to do our best.
Views shared at the parade are ones I know well, having been raised Jewish in Chicago. It was only when I visited Israel and the Palestinian territories as a college student more than 20 years ago did I begin to see the situation differently. But not everyone welcomed the photographs I brought home documenting Palestinian life under occupation. They sparked arguments with my mother and left me ostracized from the wider community. In recent years, however, I've noticed a shift. More Jewish groups are leading protests against Israel.
Our values as Jewish people compel us to be here and stand on the right side of history.
Kara Levine is one of those involved in the movement. The 28-year-old grew up in an Israel-supporting family here in New York.
Hello.
Hi.
But began to question those beliefs as she got older.
Here are the photos that I grabbed.
Okay.
If you want to take a look at them.
Nice.
I'm one on the right, dressed up for Purim. And then the bat mitzvah ones, I still feel a little, you know, the same kind of embarrassing vibes that I felt at the time.
I think everyone who has a bar or bat mitzvah feels exactly the same thing, and that is utter embarrassment by the whole affair.
Exactly. This is a photo of me and my sister and my parents at the Jewish nursery school at the synagogue. And there's these like Israeli flags you could see.
Israel's just kind of there in the background,
there, yeah. There's this utopian sense of the way that people talked about Israel, and I think that I was very susceptible to it.
Why are so many young Jews like you out there on the front lines?
The values that I learned are part of it, specifically my grandparents and surviving the Holocaust. I think that that is a really major part of why I feel so strongly about taking action and trying to stop a genocide. It's like, never again means never again for anyone.
What do you say to those Israel supporters who will say, you know, you're an example of a self-hating Jew?
Being Jewish actually means a lot of different things. There's no like one way to be Jewish. It's like another example of like this stronghold that Zionism has over Judaism to even litigate who counts as a Jew and who doesn't.
Disillusionment with Israel is also making its way into mainstream politics. As polls show, more Americans now sympathize with Palestinians than they do Israelis. Last year, Zoran Mamdani, an outspoken critic of Israel's policies, became mayor of New York. Now he's backing Jewish city official Brad Lander in a campaign to unseat incumbent U.S. Congressman Dan Goldman, who's also Jewish. One of the biggest issues separating them is Goldman's unwavering support for Israel.
He voted for every U.S. military aid package to Israel. He won't recognize it as genocide. He's never used the word occupation to describe Israel's occupation of the West Bank.
While Lander made it a point to not take part in the Israel Day parade, Goldman was there at the front of the march.
How are you feeling about the race against Mr. Lander?
We're here to celebrate the country of Israel and its founding. That's what we're focused on.
Corporate Democrats like Dan Goldman are taking money from AIPAC and voting to send weapons to Netanyahu every single time for the 2,000-pound bombs that have destroyed all of the schools and hospitals in Gaza. It is so deeply possible to be a proud Jewish New Yorker who loves our traditions and who cares about our present and our future and not believe that that must be tied to an Israeli state that is committing genocide.
Why is Israel such a big part of this campaign and the conversation around it?
American taxpayers have financed the war, have financed the genocide, and that there's other genocides taking place around the world. There aren't others that the U.S. is paying for. There's no doubt that shifts are taking place amongst voters. There will come a time pretty soon when there won't be majority support in Congress to continue sending bombs to Netanyahu to light the Middle East on fire. And I hope that will bring some change.
At the Israel Day Parade, a lot of people were saying those critical of Israel are either anti-Semitic or being manipulated by social media. What do you say to those claims?
Well, it's definitely not anti-Semitic to criticize Israel. For me, you know, my positions here are like deeply grounded in my Judaism. And I think Netanyahu is making Jews unsafe with catastrophically eroding Israel's position in the world.
We accompanied two of Lander's supporters, Rosa and Michal, from the group Jews for Racial and Economic Justice, as they campaigned with potential voters. It wasn't long before the topic of Israel came up.
What are the issues that are important to you? Why are you going to be voting?
Affordability is a big one. Actually caring about people and not using our money to blow up other people is also pretty important.
What do you mean?
Just all these wars we have going on that we're supporting or directly contributing to.
Are you talking about Gaza?
Gaza and Iran.
And Iran?
Yeah.
Why does it bother you as a young person living in New York?
Because there's young people living there who want to do the same things I want to do here, and they can't, and they're dying. Yeah.
There's a primary coming up, a Democratic primary.
See that you guys say Jews for Racial and Economic Justice. Mamdani, for example, didn't go to the
parade. Brad also did not go to the parade.
And it's kind of like picking sides. And I feel like now more than ever, there's so much like anti-Semitism, and it's just like hard to see.
One of our sort of things that we try to distinguish is like Israel's a country, right? Judaism is a multitudinous, religious, ethnic melting pot experience, right? But they're not one and the same. Jewish pride doesn't equal the Israel Day Parade.
It's clear that political activists here feel a need to separate their Jewish identity from the Israeli state. It's something that's also affecting the ways in which people worship.
When I was growing up, criticism of Israel wasn't really tolerated by most mainstream Jewish institutions. As a result, people like myself who took issue with Israel's occupation didn't really have a congregation we could belong to. However, in recent years, that started to change, and you now have synagogues like the Kolot Chayenu synagogue here in Brooklyn that tolerate different views when it comes to Israel. So Kolot's a pretty sizable congregation
at this point. Yeah, we've grown quite a bit as folks look for a place where they can wrestle.
Wrestle with what?
Wrestle with their Judaism, being able to apply Jewish values, both in terms of political activism here in the U.S. and in terms of my congregants' relationship to Israel.
Kara Levine belongs to the synagogue as well. Tonight, congregants have come together for a meal to close out the Sabbath.
Why did you start coming to Kalot?
It was important to me to be at a synagogue that shared my values. The views on Israel and Palestine and anti-Zionism were really important to me, but also egalitarian views, being queer friendly.
Judaism in this country just became so melded with Zionism. I was like literally chased like out of, you know, at least one synagogue. I mean, I just really didn't feel welcome in Jewish spaces.
In Chicago, where I grew up, people who were identifying as anti-Zionist or critical of Israel's occupations didn't have a space. It's very nice that you all have this kind of space that you can still come and be Jewish in.
Before leaving New York, there was one more person I wanted to speak to. Hi.
This is my doctor. I have to take this.
Okay, all right.
You know, mom. There was one like 10 years ago in Atlanta. And
hi.
No problem. I just. Oh.
How you doing? I took my first trip, 23 years ago, and immediately I was coming back and trying to talk to you and others about the things that I had seen there, which were quite shocking to me, you know, how Palestinians were living under occupation. What did you think when I was bringing you those photographs and those stories from the West Bank?
I felt you were challenging my basic belief system. That's why we had pretty... You were challenging my basic belief system and, at that point, my livelihood. So they were pretty awful fights that we had. If you remember, we finally decided we would have a truce, and the only way we were able to communicate is not say the word Israel. And I think we did that for many years.
What's changed for you during that time?
A lot of things have changed.
Oh, yeah?
I think my attitude has changed. I no longer believe that Israel is infallible. I no longer believe that the state of Israel is the same as the ideal of Israel. But like family members who don't always behave the way you want them to, you can criticize and still love them. And I mean, isn't that what the meaning of Israel is? It means to struggle and to fight. And the more I learn about Judaism, the more I understand it's okay to have doubts about how the government in Israel behaves.
It's very interesting to see how far she's come along over the years. Now she's very critical herself of what Israel's doing and its treatment towards the Palestinians. As she said, when she was growing up, she didn't even consider the lives of Palestinians. She knew almost nothing about them. The younger generation hasn't grown up with the same things that she did. And for them, Israel is a state that is doing a lot of things that are indefensible. And I think my mother now starts to see that in the same way a lot of young people do. This division or this shift that's taking place, how do you see it playing out and affecting other Jewish institutions in this country?
There are fundamental questions for those institutions to answer. And those are not questions of whether or not those young people are going to be Jews, because they will. They will. They already are, and they will. The question is, will they inherit the institutions of their parents, or will they be forced to make their own new institutions? We are deeply blessed by their engagement and their presence, renewing our collective sense of what it means to be Jewish.
Please join me in introducing your next Congress member, Brad Anderson.